Blog Talk Radio.
Can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness. Ever since the Declaration of Independence, we've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence. It goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading us? To a world full of ignorance, hatred, and prejudice. TV and the news for years, they're prejudiced. Foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, so some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy. The SAT is not geared for the lower class, so why waste time even trying to pass? The educational system presumes you to fail. The next place is the corner, then after that, jail. You gotta understand that this has all been conspired to put a strain on our brains so that the strong grow tired. It even exists when you go to your church, cause up on the wall, a white Jesus lurks. They use your subconscious to control your will. They've done it for a while and developed the skill to make you want to kill even your own brother, man. Black against black, you see, it's part of their plan. They want to send us to war and they want to ban rap. What they really want to do is get rid of us blacks. Genocide is for real, and I hope that you're hearing me. You must be aware to combat the conspiracy.
In the arts, this is... industry.
Even in this rap game, all the glitters ain't gold. Now the rap is big business, the snakes got bold. They give you whack contracts and try to make you go pop, cause they have no regard for real hip-hop. They'll compare you to others and say, but yo, he sells. And you know in your heart that he's weak as hell. So you say, I ain't doing that corny stuff. But they tell you that your chart positions will go up. Sometimes they front big time and make you many promises. And then when they break them, that's when your mama says, son, you're making records, but that guy seems shady. It could be too late and your career could be played, G. I hope you listen to the things that I'm sharing, see. We all have a job to combat the conspiracy.
Welcome to another edition of Your World News. I am your faithful host, Solomon, and I am joined by Peter Fowler, live from Glendale, Arizona. I'll be patching him through in one moment. But we've got a really special show, and it seems like I say that every week, because I do say that every week. But once again, we've got a powerful show. And so for the next 50 minutes, I mean, we're going to actually go straight into this exclusive interview and kind of bypass some of the headlines that we usually cover. But on our next program, you know, we'll definitely get everyone up to speed on covering some newsworthy items and giving our critical 60 cents worth on them. No 2 cents. We're going to give you 60 cents worth of our critical input. So we've got a great show. And as I said, we're joined by Peter Fowler. And we're also joined by a young man who is our featured guest today. His name is Davon. And I'll let him introduce himself. He's joining us live from Detroit, Michigan. And as you know, we've been covering in the past on Your World News a lot of the things this Obama administration and his many minions, such as Arne Duncan and so many other folks, are doing to continue to basically either uphold the stuff that was put in place by the Bush regime, or even take it to another level. And right now, you know that since we've covered in the past the corporatization of the school systems, the so-called charter school movement, and what a lot of folks really don't know about, you know, this whole charter school movement, and you know, they place the corporatization of public schools and the shutting down of public schools and the turning of black and brown skin public schools into military run public schools under the so-called innocent guise of charter schools, the new wave. And so this young man who's joining us, and I'm going to let him tell the deeper story, but basically he got involved in this whole movement when his school started to do dealings with the devil. In this case, the devil was Walmart, and they accepted a large amount of money, and they started to replace his literature course with a college, a so-called college, and remove the word college, a career preparatory course, which basically meant that they had to learn how to fill out Walmart applications, and they also had to, seriously consider an internship at the rate of $4.75 at the local Walmart. And this story was broken by Danny Wheel, who's done a number of stuff on DailyCensored.com. You should definitely check out DailyCensored.com for Danny's extensive work on public policy as it relates to education. So without further ado, I am going to introduce our co-host, Peter Fowler, who is joined now. Peter, you're live. I don't know if you want to give the audience a couple words in terms of who you are, and that's about it.
All right. Yeah, just real briefly. Again, Solomon, good to be on the air with you, and I won't say much because our time is a little bit limited tonight, and we want to get right into it. But the topic for the tonight, our subject matter, is relevant to everybody. Because it's a topic that touches everybody's life at some point. The topic of education, particularly what the trend is in public education in this country, and it flies under the radar, unfortunately, in terms of the developments in public education in this country. So, what we're about to talk about is a high priority. Should be a high priority on everybody's engagement list for politics in this country. So. A very timely topic in terms of breaking down public education in this country. And not only that, but we've got a young man who is a high school student and is actively engaged and involved in what's going on in his education and the institution of public education in this country, which should be an inspiration to everybody listening to this young brother's voice as a voice of concern and critical analysis of what's going on in his world. So let's get it started.
Right. And his world is our world, and I hope that at the very least people take this episode, this interview, and really do the background research. And I think once you do, you'll be compelled to join arms and to follow the leadership of young people like Davon. Davon, you're on live. I want to welcome you to the show. Are you there with us?
Yes.
How you doing, Davon? How you doing, young brother?
Pretty good. Excited.
Pretty good. All right. Well, we're excited to have you on. I want to know, Davon, if you can just open up by telling us, giving us a little bit of background of who you are, and then if you can, after you give us a background of who you are, if you can kind of give us the background in terms of how you became involved in this struggle, this fight. That you're involved in right now with comrades from BAM, BAM by any means necessary, as well as folks like myself, because I'm joined with you now. But I think folks would really benefit from knowing what happened in your literature course and what you and your students at Frederick Douglass High School were asked to do.
Well, I am a student at a DPS high school in Detroit. It's a public school. And, well, how I got involved with BAM is that I had a couple of friends who knew about BAM, and they told me about BAM, and I was just very interested because before we had, like last year, we had a couple of school closing, and I was pretty serious about the whole thing. And the whole thing about the Walmart, It was just insulting because, like, we're doing a project on, like, Arthur Miller, The Crucible, and next thing you know, our teacher wants us to, like, do a resume of Walmart, and, you know, I kind of asked her, like, was it mandatory? She said no, so I told her flat out that, you know, I'm not about to do this because, you know, I want to go to college, not Walmart.
Right, right. And so then what happened after that? I know that there was an assembly after that. And I from what I understand, basically reading Danny Wheel's a piece on you, because I know he interviewed you, there was an assembly where you took the opportunity to do like so many of our ancestors before us, like the prophet Malcolm X and Martin Luther King did when they decided to speak out and speak out publicly. What happened at the assembly, and what did you say? And then also, what did the teacher say? Because I understand there was a teacher that really followed suit as well.
Well, when the assembly came, it was just really, really stupid because they were trying to make it as fun and things like that. They're like, oh, giving away gift cards and book bags and all types of stupid things like that or whatever. But when we were at the assembly, I was like, you know, they were supposed to have like RABA, which is the Educational Financial Board member, and they were supposed to have our mayor, Dave B, and also supposed to have our governor, Jennifer Granholm, but those three wasn't there. And instead, they sent in, like, representatives and things like that. But when we were there, I asked a couple teachers, like, will we be able to ask questions if she's not allowed? And they said, no. And I was just kind of mad, but doing the whole auditorium, I was just saying little comments like, well, whatever, like, you know, I was saying, like, whatever happened to Wall Street instead of Walmart type thing, you know, and, you know, don't go to no school, like, why are you even teaching in school? Y'all not educators, teachers are, you know, type thing. And I was basically telling the teachers that, like, the whole Walmart thing was dumb. And, like, if y'all want to, I understand them getting a job at Walmart, but to, like, for them to come to our school and teach us, it's just, you know, crazy. And I was talking to a couple of teachers, which I believe they couldn't really, I don't know, I think they were kind of, like, scared of, you know, Bob, but they were totally against it, the whole thing too. They thought it was, you know, really insulting to the children, especially if it was a college prep school. And, you know, I believe that was insulting too, because our school used to be like a charter school. It used to be what people called it, the bad boy school, where all the bad boys were there, you know. And then when I went to ninth grade, which was like 2008. We lost that reputation. Like, we gained another reputation of being, like, a leadership for male school, you know, type thing. And we had, like, we did great. Like, we made AYP and everything. So now we're, like, up there with the elite schools. And for you to cut off our programs and to, like, cut off different programs like our art program, our debate program, then for you to, like, just literally come in and stop our courses and things like that for us to fill out a resume for Walmart, which is really insulting. And that's how I believe it just really caught my attention, for me to, you know, stop it and for me to, like, join them to basically stop the whole Walmart thing and stop, you know, charterization of our schools.
Right, right. And can I ask you, is your school predominantly black?
Yes.
It's a predominantly black school, and it was labeled as like the bad boy school. And did your school, like, prior to this, did they have a history? Did your school have a history of providing any kind of college preparatory courses, like advanced placement courses? Were those readily available to you?
Yes, like myself, I have all my core classes. I have AP classes and things like that.
Right.
We have a wide variety of different programs, you know, and a lot of sports programs too, you know. And, you know, it's just a great school, and I love that school. And I wouldn't even be thinking you now that we even like the school. I'm like, oh man, it's an all boys school. But because of that, it really, the teachers and the people there were really supportive, and they taught me how to be a man and have more leadership within, you know. So that's why I really admire the school. But for now, for them to bring Walmart in, I was just really mad, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I got AP classes. They also got this program. It's like a college program.
Mm-hmm.
And for Central Michigan University, they like give away like college tours and things like that. And they also got a lot of financial aid help there. It's just a whole lot of variety of programs, and especially a lot of college programs in our school that we have. And for what I'm hearing, that they're trying to cut those out, you know, and basically trying to bring Walmart in. I don't know what other programs they have in store, but it's probably going to be worse than Walmart, I believe.
Right. Right. And there was an internship program that was on the back layer of that. And, you know, I know my partner, Peter, has a couple of questions for you, but I wanted to say it seems like what's going on is that your school, see, Devon, you know, what you represent, the stuff that you're doing right now, which is tremendous stuff, where you're inspiring me. I mean, you totally, when I first heard about your story, and then when I first spoke to you a couple of days ago and we set this interview up, I mean, the work that you're doing is very inspiring. To see a young brother your age, 16 years of age, you know,
yeah,
going to places like D.C. to rally,
yeah,
and you came to D.C. and you went to Ballou High School and you went to other high schools in the Washington, D.C., in the city, actually, not even the area, but in the city itself, is very inspiring. What you represent, and I don't know if anyone's like spelled this out to you, but you represent the threat to the system. You're exactly the kind of student that they don't want to turn out, because if we had 600, you know, 1,000, 2,000 brothers and sisters like yourself, but in this case, you know, you go to an all boys school, all young, an all young men school, what you're doing right now, that petrifies a lot of folks, and that's why they try to keep you in that little box. And that box means, you know, young black man, we want you to think. We don't want you to think outside the box in terms of what you could be in your community, in terms of a voice, you know, not just a voice of reason, but a voice, you know, that is doing a lot of good work in the community, that's speaking truth to justice, that is mobilizing and organizing folks. They want to keep you in that box, and that box sometimes is, yeah, we want you to work at Walmart. We want you to think within this small box. In this small box, there's Walmart, there's McDonald's. You can name a couple other corporations that are littered throughout our communities that take, contribute to everything from diabetes to hypertension. We know the racist history of Walmart, and especially in terms of its treatment of black folks, customers, as well as employees. And then they have the audacity, and then, you know, your school system has the audacity to do a deal with these folks in exchange for trying to funnel you into you know, some kind of hopeful position at Walmart.
Right.
So, you know, I really, really appreciate you know, what you're saying, because they're also doing this with the military. There's a lot of schools out there that they're turning into, as you know from your work with BAM, is that they're turning a lot of public schools into public military schools, which are feeder systems into the military. So, Peter, you know, I'll let you – I know you have a couple of questions to ask Devon.
Yeah, Devon. Hey, Peter Fowler from Glendale, Arizona. Again, I echo the remarks that Solomon just made. You're a real inspiration, and I just applaud the work you're doing. You're affiliated somehow with BAM, from what I understand, and BAM is an acronym. And I know that, you know, most of our listeners probably are not familiar with BAM, and it's the Coalition to Defend Affirmative Action and Integration and Fight for Equality by Any Means Necessary. Now, you know, BAM has held some rallies in different cities across the country, and you've been a part of a couple of those. I know the one in D.C. recently, as well as Detroit. Now, BAM is not as well known in the general public, even though it is a large organization that's been around for a few years, has had rallies across the country. yet still the mainline media generally ignores it. So could you talk a little bit about what BAM is from your perspective and what BAM is doing in terms of education and how you're involved in that?
Well, BAM is basically a group with how you can the coalition to defend certain rights and things like that. And we're just trying to understand what was right and given to us, like public school, about the whole board versus education thing. That was given to us, and for people to try to take that away, it's just not right. And you know, and I see that's why I'm totally agree with them, because at first I didn't even went to a public school. This is like my high school year is basically my public school. I've been to a public school. All the rest of my years I've been to a charter school. And I didn't really see why BAM went against charter schools. But now I do. Charter schools are just not even acceptable to me, because I have a couple of experience that I did not, now that I'm thinking, like, oh, yeah, charter schools, they're, like, crazy. But charter schools, they get funded by private corporations and by public corporations. So that's our money and someone else's that they're taking. And basically, charter schools don't even have to do certain things that public schools need. Like, when I was at a charter school, and I'm also like a disabled student, so when I don't have to have a carry a wheelchair with me every day, but when I need it and to maneuver in school, that's what I needed. They were saying, basically, the school wasn't wheelchair accessible. They were telling me to basically go to a better school, go to a public school, you know, and that school didn't have any, like, resource classes or anything like that, any, you know, special education classes. It just had other simple classes. They don't need to have you. Otherwise, at a public school, they have this alternative for children with disability needs and things like that. So I definitely see that's why I joined them, because I totally agree what they are fighting for, what they're standing for. They're standing for, you know, public rights, our public rights, and the whole trying to get the schools more integrated thing. I truly believe in that, because as I was talking to a BAM organizer, and she was telling me, you know, people had did studies on how integrated school and how way much better it was, because the students had kind of got a whole point of view of a different world, and, you know, all the misfortunes in there, they just learned better for the real world. And I agree with that too. So, you know, that's why I'm with them, and that's basically what them is fighting for.
Right.
And let me ask you this too. You know, I'm looking at the Youth Declaration for a New Civil Rights Movement, and you know, this is a document from BAM. You know, and I would also encourage our listeners to do some of your own research about BAM and find out what's going on, because you know, there are ways that we can be supporting that organization, what they're doing in different cities across the country. But Devon, I'm looking at the Youth Declaration and for a New Civil Rights Movement, and so what does that mean for you as a teenager, as a high school student now, that you know, that there is a new civil rights movement afoot, or that there is some interest in generating another civil rights movement, or continuing the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 1960s, like the document implies. What does that mean for you and the other your peers that are in the struggle right now?
Well, my thing, when I was talking to them, and I was just really confused, like, okay, new civil rights? What? Why new? Like, why build a new civil rights? And they were telling me, well, the reason why it's new to the right, because everything is being new now. Now, like, how they were, we were doing the study on Martin Luther King, how they were talking about a new Jim Crow, and how they get our own blacks to fight, like black versus basically blacks attacking other blacks and killing each other and things like that. Then they were saying, now in this present day, they do it a different way. They get it. They have a higher authority, black like Wild Bob, to attack a major, you know, black city like ours, predominantly black city like ours in Detroit. It's just the same thing, but it's a new type thing. So we have to find a new way to basically oppose that plan that they're trying to do. You know, so I, you know, it was just really great for me because a lot of teenagers wouldn't even be like, you know, some teenagers would be like, wouldn't even pay attention to this type of things. But, and actually, that's how I was, but I was thinking about it. And when I met up with them and with this Walmart thing happened, I'm like, okay, something is definitely going on. That's not supposed to be right. And, you know, Dan has showed me many things that how other schools are better and how they're supposed to be better or things like that. And they told me, basically, our schools can be better and like this, you know. And, you know, being in a new civil rights movement is great because, I don't know, I feel like a future Martin Luther King or Malcolm X type thing, and I really agree for them to, you know, to have a youth-led movement, which is
right.
Great.
Yeah, that is great. You know, and you know, what comes to mind is we talk about the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 1960s, and of course, you know, the Martin Luther Kings and Malcolm X's and those individuals come to mind. But you know, the just untold numbers of young people, teenagers and young adults that made that movement possible, I think are worth recalling now because of the Youth Declaration and the involvement of people like yourself. And just, you know, that's something for you to be mindful of and other young people that are listening is how impactful and how important the young people were in those movements of several decades past. You know, there was the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, that was made up of high school students, college students, young people, and the sit-ins of the that started in 1960. And those were led almost exclusively by college students, and then high school students started in on it. So that's something to keep in mind and to celebrate in terms of the importance of youth leadership and youth involvement. So glad that you are really taking on the mantle of that this current generational leadership, Devon. That's outstanding, brother.
That's right, Devon. I want to just you know, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't, you know, pay tribute to Dr. Dorothy Height, who was a civil rights warrior, you know, and she you know, really did a tremendous work that, you know, most people wouldn't do in 3, 4, 5 lifetimes. And she passed away today at age 98. And, you know, so I just felt that, you know, we'd be remiss without, you know, giving shouts out to our elder and now ancestor, Dr. Dorothy Height. Jamal, I mean, Devon, the question I want to ask you is based around charter schools, because I know you're preparing an article that's going to be released soon, I believe on dailycensor.com, and I know that, you know, you and Danny have been working collectively on an article. I can't wait to read it. But I know that you have, you know, just based on, like, your definition of charter schools, that it's kind of, like, brings chills throughout my body, because when you defined and described charter schools, that's a definition that most people my age, when I ask them their definition of charter schools, because a lot of them have been programmed to believing, and there are some great charter schools out there, but then on top of that, there's some great public schools, and the data, all the recent data that has come out as of 2010 has shown that 37% of the time, kids that go to charter schools actually do worse than kids that go to public schools. And then the rest of the time, the difference, the rest of the time, kids that go to charter schools do the same level of academic work in terms of success as do kids at public schools. And so when people describe, like, oh, charter school has this and that, and the educators are creative and this, that, and the other, I simply ask them, you keep describing this and you're selling this. Why do you believe this can't be done at public schools? And so that's what they've done is they've taken our eye off the ball, and in this case, the ball is public schools. If public schools were funded, if teachers were paid, salaries that were attractive, you would have damn good teachers. A lot that I know that actually got forced out of teaching because they were not able to sustain any kind of livable wage that was going to take care of them and themselves and their families. And if you provided the resources to all public schools equitably, you would have a vastly improved public school system. But in the meantime, right now in the U.S. of A., richest country in the world, so-called, there are so-called third world nations and developing nations where their secondary schools and primary schools far outperform the U.S. public schools, and they do this on just a fraction of the U.S.'s GDP. And to second that, Devon, and as you know, Peter, we've spent a lot of time talking about this, is that, this whole one of the biggest injustices in America is that public or property taxes, I should say, property taxes play a significant role in how much a school system within any given area receives funding for those public schools. It makes no sense whatsoever. It makes no sense whatsoever. It is educational apartheid in every sense of the word, because it is the black and brown schools and the poor areas and even the poor white schools in the Appalachians that by and large get the shaft left and right. And so I want to play a quick clip. That was all to set up this clip by Brother Glenn Ford in Black Agenda Report. I want to play the clip, and at the other side of the clip, Devon, if I can get your reaction to the clip, and I want to get your 2 cents or your 60 cents on charter schools and this individual known as Arne Duncan, who was Barack Obama's basketball playing buddy. And I guess if you play hoops enough, you can actually and spend not 1 minute in a classroom as an educator, you can get the job as the highest ranking public school official in the entire country, because you shot hoops and you played hoops with Barack Obama, and you were the CEO, the chief executive officer of the Chicago Public Schools, where you flipped 7-8 schools that were predominantly black and brown into military-run schools. But anyways, we're going to play this on Arne Duncan, and Devon, I want to get your feedback on the other end.
There is an old saying, a white man's heaven is a black man's hell. Arne Duncan, the U.S. Secretary of Education and President Obama's basketball buddy, is one of those white men, a disaster capitalist who sees a silver lining in the Katrina catastrophe that swept away much of black New Orleans 4.5 years ago. Duncan's ghoulish statement that the best thing that happened to the education system in New Orleans was Hurricane Katrina is identical to the sentiments expressed by racist Louisiana whites and the Bush administration when they gushed unashamedly over the opportunities Katrina created to build a new order in the city, even as bloated black bodies still floated in the streets. Even now, as the remains of black people still ooze from shattered concrete in Port-au-Prince, Arne Duncan's disaster capitalist classmates revel in the prospect of building a new Haiti, one more orderly and advantageous to the rich. when the very existence of the poor is deemed the essence of the problem, then the ultimate logic is genocide. To the Arne Duncans of this world, there is no price too high to pay in terms of black suffering in the quest for the Obama administration's grotesque version of education reform. The destruction of a black city, the scattering of her population, these are not tragedies, certainly not crimes, but cause for celebration in the larger scheme of things, that larger scheme being the privatization and charterization of the public schools and the demise of teachers' unions. One immediate effect of Katrina was the firing of all the city's public school teachers and staff to clear the way for a hodgepodge, fractured, and highly unequal system dominated by charters and where the teachers are largely non-union, whiter, younger, with far less roots in the community. Arne Duncan attempted to achieve the same results while running the Chicago schools. For the Obama administration, New Orleans is the future, a model to be coerced into being by withholding federal funds to cities that fail to impose a parallel order of charter schools. The administration plans to step up its bullying on behalf of charter schools in its updated version of No Child Left Behind. The privatization of education that was conceived as a corporate project during the Reagan administration is now the official doctrine of the corporate wing of the Democratic Party under the first black president. One of President Obama's great allies in charterizing the public schools is Michael Bloomberg, the billionaire mayor of New York City, who's attempting to shut down 19 schools, all of them heavily black and brown, despite fierce protests from parents. The state NAACP has joined with the teachers' union in a suit to block the mass closings, warning of the establishment of a segregated, two-tier school system, charters for the more fortunate, traditional public schools for the poor and educationally needy. To impose this two-tier system, federal policy creates deliberate crises in the traditional public schools in order to shut them down. That's disaster capitalism at work in the guise of educational reform. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to www.blackagendareport.com.
And that was, as I keep saying, that was the good work that Black Agenda Report and Glenn Ford and Jared Ball and Margaret Kimberly and Bruce Dixon continue to do on a week-to-week basis. Please check it out, www.blackagendareport.com. And, Davon, I want to get your feedback. And Davon, you know, you've probably already thought this. Don't let anybody sell you on the idea, because you'll have a lot of folks that will say, oh, you can't just throw money at the school system and expect it to get better. But what's funny is, in this country, in the U.S. of A., in the good United States of America, the belly of capitalism, you know, they have no qualms throwing tons of money at military, tons of money at NASA, you know what I'm saying, trying to put somebody on the asteroid, billions and billions of dollars, $1 trillion a year towards the military. And what's funny is these folks that say that, they send their kids to private schools, from everywhere, from Massachusetts all the way to California, that cost more than one would send, you know, their child to Harvard. We're talking about $45,000 to $50,000 a year on these private schools, and yet they have the audacity to say that you can't throw money, you can't put money, investing money into predominantly black and brown skin schools. That doing so is just not gonna improve the problem whatsoever. But when the rule of thumb is pointed to them and other things like the military, the rule doesn't apply. The rule does not apply. So, Brother Davon, what is your take on charter schools? What's your take on Arne Duncan?
Well, the whole thing about, well, I'm going to start with Arne Duncan first. Arne Duncan, what you said, he is the U.S. Secretary of Education, you know, and Obama basically appointed him and, you know, gave, like, giving him, like, $4.3 billion to spend on to improve on education, but instead he, you know, basically gave me he basically made this plan called Race to the Top, which is, I believe, it's just really dumb. And for Race to the Top, you basically, to get money, you have to compete other schools, and the teachers have to accept like merit pay, and they have to accept merit pay, and merit pay is like they'll test with the kids, and if the kids doesn't do good, then the teachers won't get paid as much. In fact, they might not even give the school as much money. But I believe instead of like competing and tolerating the school, you should give money to a school based on needs and things like that. The school is nothing wrong with the kids in the school. It's just the school. We need more resources like, you know, books and good supplies and things like that. And if we get that, then possibly, actually, it would be a better school. And the whole, you know, like what I heard about the administrator at New York, I forget the person name, I just heard it in the clip. It's the same from how he tried to close 19 schools. Wow, Bob, here, he tried to close 45 schools here in Detroit.
And he
was doing it illegally because he had to ask the school board, and he wasn't doing that. And he also was testing students, and he has no power to test any student to even put out a test, you know. And it's just, you know, and that whole plot is just to charterize our school. And like I was saying before, I just don't totally agree with charter school, you know. And people be like, well, charter school, there are charter schools that are good, there are charter schools that are bad, and things like that. And I'm like, it's not whether the charter school is good, it's not whether the charter school is bad. It's just the ideology that what charter schools can do. And public schools basically, you know, can't do certain things that charter schools do. In a positive way. Charter schools, like I was saying before, they don't have to, a lot of charter schools don't even have to have, like, electives. And it was, like, our charter school, we only had, like, one foreign language class, which was Spanish. Now in my school now, we got, like, a whole bunch. We got, like, Spanish and French and, you know, just a variety of things that charter schools doesn't have to offer. Like I was saying before, they don't have to offer any IT class. They don't have to offer, like, AP class. So I was heard here before in a charter school, in order for you to get in order for you to have an AP class, they will, like, you have to, like, pay them. Instead of, like, if your grades are good and things like that, then you can get AP classes. They are making children pay for AP classes. And I just totally go against charter schools and Arne Duncan's so-called plan called Race to the Top. He's just trying to have us compete. And the whole competing thing is just, it's not right. And, like, that goes back when we was at here in Detroit. Rob Bob was having, he was, you know, he was closing 45 schools, and a lot of them were, like, middle schools. So he was having the middle schools do presentation to they were doing a presentation to beg them not to close the school. And I was just so pissed off. Like, I was just really mad. And the children were like, it was just basically, oh, don't close our school, close their school. We have good programs and things, and our school is great. What about their school is not, you know, type thing. Oh, it was just competing, and that's what we're going to do. That's what Race to the Top thing is going to do. And while I was there, they were all like, you know, on the paper, it told us to sign our name and things like that. And they were asking, what school did we support? And I'm looking down, and I'm seeing people put in a certain school because they support me. And I just put it all, like, why am I just supporting one school? Why keep one school open? No, keep all our schools open, type, you know? And it's just, I just believe Ernie Duffy just got to go. He just has to, because
I agree. I totally agree. Yeah, he's got to go. And the individual that you were speaking about in New York, the superintendent for schools or the CEO for the CEO, that's what they call superintendents nowadays. It's the chief executive officer. Only in America. His name is Joe Klein, and he works for Bloomberg. And I don't know how much you've studied about capitalism, Devon, but when you study capitalism, when you start to really study capitalism, you'll find out why in this country and everywhere from Detroit to D.C. and to Baltimore and back to Oakland, you have this race to the top, which is based on competition. And so in a capitalist, in a society that is over-reliant and just heavily dependent on a capitalist system, you know, if things are based on competition, where money is often used as the dangling carrot, and so you don't have money divvied up equitably. You don't have money that could be provided to school systems. You have that money provided to corporations, military corporations by way of the military-industrial complex. You have the Halliburtons getting no-bid contracts, Bechtels, and on and on and on. And so that's where the money is floating out there. And so when it comes to education, you have these nitwitted minions such as Arne Duncan, who will have the audacity, the sick audacity to dangle money as a carrot in terms of, okay, you know, if your school system wants to get X amount of money, this is what has to be done, and that is what has to be done, and we want you to compete with, and we want teachers to compete with other teachers from other schools. And as you know, and I'll end on this, when you do that, one of the great things about those teachers out there that are busting their butt day in and day out is they collaborate with other teachers. When you set this up, you create a division, a natural division between teachers that would regularly collaborate. Now they're looking at it, I have to compete with Miss Jones or Miss Parker, you know what I'm saying, or Miss Ezekwe. I have to, or Mr. So-and-so. I have to compete with them. And so it really takes away the whole collaborative effort from one class to another class by way of teachers within your school. And so you hit it right on. I mean, how you described it, and you're going through it firsthand account, I really commend you. I really commend you for the homework that you've done, because it's not just that once it happened to your school, you went ahead and you did the homework and you align yourself with Van, who is providing you with a platform to really exercise your right to protest and to demand better schools, because you're not just demanding it for yourself, Devon, as you know. You're demanding it for kids that are coming up behind you, young kids that are coming up behind you that are going to one day be in Frederick Douglass High School. They're going to be in other high schools in the city of Detroit. And so the work you're doing is selfless. It's not selfish. It's selfish. And I can't say enough about how inspiring your work is. And folks, if you don't know about BAM, please go to BAM, B-A-M as in Mary, N as in now, .com. That's B as in Bambaataa, A as in Africa, M as in Malcolm, and N as in nomore.com, BAM.com. Please go there and check it out. And, you know, we have about 10 minutes left, and I know you have a really good question that you want to ask Jamal. And so, Jamal, Pete's going to ask you one more question, and then we'll get your last thoughts, and then we'll once again have Guru take us out.
Devon. One of the comments that BAM makes in some of its literature is that a better course of action All right, we've talked about the problem at length now. Let's take just a moment to talk about what might be a better course of actions. The BAM literature talks about what a better course of action might be, as opposed to developing this charter school and the privatization and further militarization of public schools. But a better course of action would be to invest in the neighborhoods of the city of Detroit, and by extension of that logic, the neighborhoods of the other cities around the country whose public schools are in trouble. So what does that mean to you? What would that look like in Detroit to say, you know what, here's a solution. Instead of just talking about a problem, let's talk about a potential solution, an alternative method, namely investing in the neighborhoods of in this case, the city of Detroit. What does that mean to you? What would that look like for you? And how would you, if you had the opportunity to help make that happen, what would that look like for you in terms of investing in your neighborhood there in the city of Detroit?
Well, it would be just really great for me to, because that's what we're basically doing, to have the people in Detroit and D.C. to stand up and just basically look at this, you know. And it was pretty good because we've been doing this fight here in Detroit, well, you know, nationally, but here in Detroit, you know, we've been doing it for quite a while, but when, you know, finally Rob kind of had told, kind of was like, oh, we're going to close 45 schools, blah, 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 whatever, then that's when people was like, oh, my God, Bam was right, you know. And it is great to have, you know, a lot of leaders from my neighborhood, and so we can just basically plan and to, you know, rally against Bob's plan and to defend public education, because public education is just really, really popular. You know, there's not even really a lot of charter schools here in Detroit. Not a lot that I've seen in Washington. There are a lot of so-called charter public schools, which is basically the same thing, but, you know, it's just really popular. A lot of people would want to stand up here and fight. And that's when another lady was asking me, and we were doing petitioning, and she was like, do you think petitioning will work? And I'm like, you know, honestly, people were like, Bob probably won't even look at him or whatever. But it gives us a chance to find those certain leaders that we had petitioned, so we can just have a bigger and better force. And the more the merrier. And Rob Bob looks and sees that, oh, a lot of people in Detroit don't want your plan, he's going to be shook. He's just going to be really scared. And he's not going to stop because, you know, the person over him, Arnie Duncan, is, you know, basically going to get mad, but they are going to be scared, and they are going to tremble, and they're going to crack, and they're going to just poke holes at it, and finally they will just break, and, you know, that's just the whole concept that we're trying to do, which is just great.
Right, and, you know, thank you so much for that, and I want to, people that are listening right now, they're probably like, why does Solomon keep referring to Devon as Jamal? And it was a very easy answer to that. And Devon knows why I keep referring to him as Jamal, because when the first story that was released about this, there was, as you know, Devon, Jamal was used as, this was before this all came, you know, before Devon came forth, you know, to protect his identity. But since then, it's been, you know, it's come out, you know, full force to the public. Danny Wheel used the name Jamal to hide Devon's identity, and so that's why I keep inadvertently referring to Devon as Jamal. So I just wanted to clarify that. But Devon, I wanted you to get any last, you know, comment that you might want to have regarding anything and how, you know, people can continue to support you. I know that folks need to go to the BAM website. They should also go to Daily Censor. That's Daily Censored, D-A-I-L-Y, Censored, C-E-N-S-O-R-E-D.com, and look at any of the articles that have been written by Danny Weil, W-E-I-L. So I want you to take us out with any last comments you have, and also I want to extend the invitation that we revisit this conversation in a couple, 3 weeks to see where you're at with your struggle on the ground. And I tell you this, brother, we will continue to remain in contact, and I am, you know, locked up in arms with you. So you've got another comrade on your side.
Well, what I would like to say is that anyone, we're trying to build a youth-led movement, but anyone who are interested in saving our public school, which was giving to us, please join them. Just go on the website, and you can get more information there, you know, and we're trying to make band chapters everywhere. Like, we try to make a band chapter in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., the march there, it was a hit. It was good. It was great. And, you know, when I went down there, you know, it just shocked me because I'm thinking, oh, we're going to Washington, D.C. The school's going to be all better and integrated. No, that wasn't right. It was basically just like how it is in Detroit, which actually makes me feel comfortable and makes me want to fight even more, you know. Like, how are they doing to the kids, the people here, the kids here in Washington, D.C., you know.
Right.
And, oh, like, how I heard about, you know, Rob actually used to be the boss of Michelle Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he, you know, basically got fired and came up here and destroying our school. And what I heard about the stories about her, which made me serious. And I wanted, and it just inspired me more to have these, to have more, that's why I was just having a good relationship with the kids, that I just wanted a better relationship and a political relationship with the teenagers, the people that I was talking to, you know. And, like, the things that she did, she was, like, firing teachers in the middle of the class, and she hired 900 and cut half of them. Like, she fired half of them and then said that they were, like, child molesters and drunks. It was just really, you know, just they were slandering their names. And, you know, I just feel like these people would do anything to get their plans through. And I just feel like, well, hell, we will too. So
right.
Just go on the website and join, you know.
Right. Great. Thank you so much. And I hope you'll come on in another few weeks. And I'd love for you to be our on-the-ground educational correspondent in Detroit as we continue to keep our pulse on this. And so I look forward to speaking with you again on air in the near future. And obviously, you and I will continue to remain in contact off air. So thank you once again, Davon, for coming on the show.
And thanks
a lot, Peter, for continuing to do the good work you're doing as well. I just want to say, you know, this show has been, this is a tribute show to Dr. Dorothy Height, as well as Guru, who was one half of the, one of the most influential rap groups that I knew growing up as a youth, and even beyond that, was Gangstar. And he died today due to cancer that had, you know, afflicted him, and he fought courageously for the last year, but he died today at age 43, and that's that was who led us in with this show, and that's who's going to take us out, is Guru with the song called Conspiracy, one half of the group named Gangstar. So thanks a lot for tuning in. This has been Your World News on behalf of Peter Fowler and on behalf of our young warrior, Davon out in Detroit. This is Your World News. Peace.
can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness. Ever since the Declaration of Independence, we've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence. It goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading us? To a world full of ignorance, hatred and prejudice. TV and the news for years, they're prejudiced. Foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, so some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy.
Schools, education.
The SAT is not geared for the lower class, so why waste time even trying to pass? The educational system presumes you to fail. The next place is the corner, then after that, jail. You gotta understand that this has all been conspired to put a strain on our brains so that the strong grow tired. It even exists when you go to your church, cause up on the wall a white Jesus lurks. They use your subconscious to control your will. They've done it for a while and developed a skill to make you wanna kill even your own brother, man. Black against black, you see, it's part of their plan. They wanna send us to war and they wanna ban rap. What they really wanna do is get rid of us blacks. Genocide is for real, and I hope that you're hearing me. You must be aware to combat the conspiracy.
In the arts, business, industry.
Even in this rap game, all that glitters ain't gold. Now that rap is big business, the snakes got bold. They give you whack contracts and try to make you go pop, cause they have no regard for real hip hop. They'll compare you to others and say, but yo, he sells. And you know in your heart that he's weak as hell. So you say, I ain't doing that corny stuff. But they tell you that your chop positions will go up. Sometimes they front big time and make you many promises. And then when they break them, that's when your mama says, son, you're making records, but that guy seems shady. It could be too late and your career could be played, G. I hope you listen to the things that I'm sharing, see. We all have a job to combat the conspiracy.